In the Northwest London Christian Church, we're studying through the book of 1 John. Yesterday I recorded some background to the epistle, and today we're going to get into the text, beginning with verse 1 of chapter 1. Here's what it says. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The epistle begins very much like the Gospel, both written by John, with a prologue focused on the Logos, the Word of God. John chapter 1, the Gospel, says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning." Big focus on the beginning, big focus on the Logos, the Word of God. But there is a difference, I think, between the Gospel and the epistle. The beginning in the Gospel is about the beginning of time, the beginning of all things. This beginning is not the creation, but I think the start in the epistle, the beginning is not the creation, but the start of the Christian movement, the teachings of Jesus, of the formation of his church through his disciples. This beginning refers to Jesus and his teaching, which the recipients of this letter have already received. They've trusted in it and they've been saved by it. And the beginning is referred to twice in chapter 2, in verse 7. When he says, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one which you had since the beginning. I think since the beginning of what they understood about Jesus and what it meant to follow him. The same chapter, chapter 2, verse 24, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. So I think the beginning there is the beginning of the new movement, if you like, the teaching of the kingdom, the proclamation of the kingdom, the proclamation and establishment of a new covenant. John clearly claims to have been an eyewitness of Jesus himself. I love the way he writes. It's as if knowing what he knows about Jesus and having seen what he has seen, he cannot keep silent, while others are claiming to have a superior understanding of what is right and wrong. Of course, in the church, it seems that what's going on is that a group of people are saying they know better what it means to follow Jesus. They know better who he was and is, what he was like, his deity, his humanity, how that all worked and fitted together, and what his teachings were on sin. They're saying they have a superior knowledge to what these Christians have already received. Yet John is saying, no, 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 no. I was there. I heard him. I saw him. I touched him. I know. And that which I already taught you and you already believed, that is the truth, not what these other people are saying. And it pours out of him. He can't help himself but proclaim it again to them. It's a bit like what happens to Peter and John in the book of Acts, chapter 4, when they're persecuted and they're told to not speak. And they say in verse 20, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Surely that's the core motivation of evangelism. It's not a duty or something just to be done, but we proclaim the gospel and we proclaim what we know about Jesus because we can't keep it in. How could we allow anybody to have a misunderstanding about how amazing Jesus is? In fact, the word seen that that John uses here, saying that he has seen him with his eyes, is actually a more elevated term in the original language. Perhaps beheld is a better translation, sort of implying that what John saw was more than just a man. He saw the glory of Jesus. Back to the Gospel, John 1 verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John did touch Jesus. He did, like Thomas and like the other disciples, he did hear him, he did see him, and he saw him as a man, and he saw him in his glory. This one verse has a lot in it, and it's a powerful reminder to all of us who have a faith in Jesus Christ that we are also to proclaim him, because he has touched us. He has helped us to see in ways we hadn't seen before. He has changed us. And so let us proclaim this word of life. Tomorrow we'll go on to verse 2. God bless and have a wonderful day.